good to be with you on today. I want to share with you a lesson that I believe that is very simple. But if you'll take this simple lesson I'm about to teach and apply in your life, you will get incredible results. So we're going to pray. We're going to make our declaration of faith, and we're going to teach the word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our time together around your word with these your precious people, very sheep of your pasture. I thank you that their eyes, their ears, their hearts and minds are open to receive this word. So I thank you for good seed, which is the word of God, that will fall into good ground, which is their hearts. And Lord, we know it will produce a harvest in their lives. I thank you so much for the privilege of being your preacher. I absolutely cannot do this without you. I need your anointing upon me right here and right now, that the people of God might be encouraged, edified, and uplifted. And so for that, I decrease, that you, the greater one, might increase. Think through my mind, speak through my lips as I declare your word. I thank you for the compassion of Jesus that always flows from my heart. So we give you praise in advance for confirming your word in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. And so before we make our declaration of faith, man, I just absolutely love your man of God. We have been best friends probably for almost 20 years. And it's rare to find just a man of prayer, a man of integrity, a generous man, a people, a man who loves the people of God. And so I hope you really value your man of God. I hope you really value your pastor, because I'm here to tell you, you got a really, really, really good pastor. Amen. 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 All right. Let's make our declaration of faith. If you have a Bible or some type of device that you use, hold it up high. I want you to repeat after me really strong at 9 o'clock in the morning. Somebody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk to you for the next few minutes from a very simple but powerful lesson that I know if you will apply will absolutely change your life. The title of my lesson is Just Be Thankful. And on the count of three, I want you to say it really, really loud. I want you to say, just be thankful, on the count of three, in the room and online through the lens. Here we go. One, two, three. This lesson is about having a consistent attitude of gratitude. I don't know about anybody in the room, but the longer I live, the higher I've made peace a priority in my life. Like, I don't really have a whole lot of time for drama and foolishness and all those kind of things, but peace is my priority. Amen. And I've learned in life how to be quiet, and I've learned how to have no opinion about certain things. I've certainly learned to be generous, and I've learned to just be thankful. And I'm here to tell you that this is a recipe for an amazing life. Psalms 116 and the 12th verse, David is speaking here, and he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? David has this attitude of gratitude. He just has this consciousness of God's goodness in his life. And he says, God, because you are so good to me and you've done so much for me, what is it that I can do for you? And I don't know about you, but I think we ought to thank God for everything he's done for us, but we also have to have the attitude that, what can I do for you? What can I do for your kingdom, because you've done so much for me? Now, sometimes the Bible teaches us that the Bible says men should always pray and not faint. We know that's not gender specific, men and women, as the case may be. And we understand the prayer petition, and the prayer petition means that we can go to God and we can ask for things. As a matter of fact, the writer teaches us to ask and to keep on asking. So that's not a bad thing, but that's a good thing. But how many in the room know that sometimes that before we even go to God and ask him for anything, we should just stop and take a moment and thank him for what he's already done? In other words, God, I know you're going to bless me more, but I thank God for all the blessings that you've already blessed me with. I know favor is going to continue to abound in my life, but Father, I thank you for all the favor that you've already caused to show up in my life. I know more doors are going to open, but Father, I just want you to know I'm thankful for all the doors that you've already opened. I've got an attitude of gratitude, and I'm just thankful. First Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, you notice the writer says in everything and not for everything. Because, you know, you might be saying, well, Pastor, I'm going through a storm, so I'm supposed to be thankful for the storm. No, the writer says in everything. So I'm not so much thankful for the storm, but I'm so thankful that even in the storm, he's leading me, he's guiding me, and he's going to bring me through the storm. So I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Is anybody in the room see better days and brighter days and days of peace and days of prosperity and days of debt freedom? Because I'm on my way to a better place. And it has a lot to do with the attitude of our heart. It has a lot to do with being intentionally grateful. It has a lot to do with us learning to just be thankful for where we are, knowing that God is going to take us even further in our lives. Now, my definition for being intentionally grateful is having a consistent heart of thanksgiving on purpose. Everybody in the room say on purpose. Regardless of situations or circumstances that cause me to look outside of myself and never forget where I've come from and who's helped me along the way. How many in the room know that God has brought us from a mighty, mighty long way? And if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, there's absolutely no telling where we would be, right? How many also know that we didn't get to where we are by ourselves? That we are standing on the shoulders of those who have helped us along the way. And that's why you have to keep the right perspective. That's why you always have to have an attitude of gratitude, because you don't want to lose perspective, because when you lose perspective, things change. Everybody say things change. It's funny how things are initially perfect to somebody in a particular situation in the beginning, and then all of a sudden somebody loses perspective and then everything changes. I mean, it was the job they wanted. I mean, it was the right career. It was the right money. It was so many miles from the house. Everything was right about the job, but over time they got used to it. They took it for granted and things changed. The marriage was perfect. He was the man of your dreams or the woman of your dreams. But if you're not careful, you think that it's over after you say, I do. Not understanding that marriage is working. You've got to communicate and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And if you're not careful, you'll get used to your spouse. You'll take them for granted and things change. The church was the church. I mean, the worship, you got it, was amazing. The man and woman of God. I mean, the culture was right. The building was right. Everything was good. But if you're not careful, you'll start getting the things that you need. You got it. You'll start getting used to it. You'll start taking it for granted and things begin to change. And when you lose perspective, you think the grass is greener on the other side. And the grass is never greener on the other side. Actually, the grass is greener where you water it. And so we have to learn how to have this attitude of gratitude. In Luke, the 17th chapter, Jesus was entering into a certain village, the Bible says, and there was 10 lepers that were standing outside the city. And of course, they all begin to yell, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus begins to have this dialogue. And as he begins to have this dialogue with them, he gives them some instructions and he tells them to go and show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says that as they went, they were healed. Now that's a whole lesson for another time, but if you notice, the Bible didn't say while they were standing there, but as they went, they were healed, because faith without works is dead being alone. Maybe once you start in a direction, you'll learn that God will give you more on your way than he does when you start. And so, but the Bible says that as they went, they were healed, and one of them, now how many lepers were there, class? 10, right? The Bible says that one of them turned back, right, and came down and fell at the feet of Jesus and began to worship him. And Jesus asked a very powerful question. He says, where are the other nine? All of them got healed, but only one of them came back. All of them got cars, but only one of them would give somebody a ride to church. All of them got raises or the job of their dream, but only one of them would return the tithe. So he says all of them got healed, but only one of them came back. And I submit to you, the one that came back was the one that showed humility. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 5, the latter part of verse 5 says, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You have to really understand the word and take the word for face value, because some people say, well, what he means was, no, the Bible is what it is. You got it? And so we don't have to change the word of God. The Bible literally says that God, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so we have to be careful not to let pride slip into our lives. Can I get a? All right. Humility is a recipe to see God's favor show up in our lives in an incredible way. I'm a very thankful person. I've had the opportunity and I'm so blessed to come here. I don't take it for granted that I come here. Just because your pastor is my best friend does not mean he has to let me preach in his church. Does that right? Does it make sense? I'm very blessed. I've had amazing supernatural things happen in my life. I live a supernatural life. But I'm here to tell you every day, 5, 10, 15 times a day, my wife and I both, we always stop and say, Father, just thank you for the incredible life that you have given us. Thank you for the family that you have given us. Thank you for the incredible ministry. Thank you that I get to travel all over the world. Like I don't take it for granted. I realize if it had not been for the Lord, come on somebody, there's no telling where I would be. Does that make sense? Amen. Now if you're going to clap, give me a good clap. Don't patty cake in the house of the Lord. So the power in being thankful is being conscious of God's blessings, not some days, but every day. And whether you realize it or not, your greatest blessing today is that he woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. You've got the activity of your limbs. The blood is running warm in your veins. Come on, somebody. And so your greatest blessing is that you woke up, because somebody didn't wake up this morning and you woke up this morning, and that alone is the reason why we ought to be thankful. Amen. Hebrews 13 and 15 says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often, class? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so the writer says, man, we ought to offer the sacrifice continually, like not some of the time, but all of the time. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. So not just in the good times, but in the tough times, in the in-between times, in the times I don't understand, I'm always going to give God praise. I'm always going to be thankful unto him. I'm always going to bless his name, because it is the intentional, thankful heart that gets God's attention and causes him to move in our lives. I'll say it again. It is the intentional, thankful heart that gets God's attention and causes him to move in our lives. So we have to learn to be thankful for where we are. How many know that? And for what God is doing in our lives right now, right? It doesn't mean that we won't believe for greater. It doesn't mean that we know that God's not going to take us to the next level. But Father, I'm just thankful for where I am right now. See, and when you learn to be thankful for where you are right now, you can learn, to celebrate what God is doing in somebody else's life. Because if God is blessing your neighbor, how many know he's in the neighborhood? Right? And so I can rejoice with those who rejoice. So if somebody over here gets a blessing, man, I can give God praise. I can turn that thing around. Come on, somebody. If God is blessing somebody else, I can give God praise. If God is blessing someone over here, I can rejoice with those who rejoice, because if God is blessing my neighbor, that must mean he's in the neighborhood, and I'm in faith that I'm next in line for God to do something supernatural in my life. So let me just take a moment and let's begin to talk about, what's up, man? Pastor Evan is in the house. Give Pastor Evan, that's my best friend, man. Lady Cerise, man, I got it. I got to stay focused, all right? So I love him. Every time I see him, even if we FaceTime, man, I love that man of God, amen. Can I just take a minute and talk about unhealthy comparisons, all right? See, if we're not careful, we'll get into this thing about comparisons. And Paul teaches us in 2 Corinthians 10 that when we do this, that we are not wise, all right? Too many people have bought into the world system of how we value ourselves. We compare ourselves with others in an attempt to establish self-esteem, when you really really don't have to do that because the writer already says that you are accepted in the beloved, that you are the apple of his eye, that you are the object of his affection, that his favor surrounds you like a shield. When you know who you are and when you know whose you are, you don't have to compare yourself to anybody. You just begin to be thankful for what God is doing in your life. Can I get amen? Right? And that's real important because too many times we make unhealthy comparisons, not understanding that we are all unique and we all have different qualities and we all have different purposes in life. And everyone in this room is absolutely important. We are one body, we are many members, and every joint supplies. As amazing as the worship was, and the worship was amazing this morning, wouldn't you agree? You got it? And we thank God for them, but we thank God for the ones, come on somebody, who cleaned the bathrooms, hello somebody, who did all the other, we thank God for everybody, and we need everybody. Does that make sense? So at the end of the day, when someone gives their life to Jesus, everybody can raise their hand and say, I had a part in that. And so we don't, you know, because see, the problem with making unhealthy comparisons or comparisons, period, is you either feel superior or you feel inferior, and neither pleases God. Does that make sense? And that's why if you have multiple children, how many know, you know, you shouldn't tell one of your children you ought to be like your brother or sister. Isn't that right? You got it. If you're remarried, you know, if I was you, everybody say, if I was you, I wouldn't bring up my old spouse some more. My last spouse, you know, did this. I wouldn't do that if I was you. Maybe you're newlywed and brother, she's doing her best, you know, learning how to cook and those kind of things. You know, if I was you, I would be thankful and have gratitude. I wouldn't say things like, you know, my mother doesn't make macaroni and cheese like that. She gonna tell your mammy to come over here and make something. We must get a revelation that we are complete in him. Somebody say, I am complete in him. You got to know who you are, and you got to know whose you are, that you are a child of the Most High God. You've been seated in heavenly places. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. And when you begin to understand who you are, I don't have to compare myself to anybody, but Father, I'm just thankful for where you have me right now. That's why I tell all my single ladies, you know, know your worth. Come on, somebody. Don't put yourself on sale. Oh, here we go. But Pastor, he said he paid my car payment. You don't need no sugar daddy. You got Big Daddy, and he'll supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You got to have ground rules. Somebody say ground rules. Y'all have heard me say it before. You got to tell them no wed, no bed, no ring, nothing. No contact, no contract, no contract, no contact. You can't try it before you buy it. You sure look nice, I'm cold as ice. Please don't touch my merchandise. Like, you gotta have some ground rules, and you gotta let them know, I'm gonna do it God's way, and if I do it God's way, I'm gonna get God results in my life. Does that make sense? Man, I'm telling you, I'm a firm believer. If you do it God's way, you are going to get God results in your life. Amen. You have to have a conviction that God's way works better than your way. And so you are complete in him. Let me quickly give you, y'all get anything out of this? Let me quickly give you three symptoms of an ungrateful heart. And then we're going to move into the next portion of the lesson. Three symptoms of an ungrateful heart. Everybody say number one. Number one, giving God credit after you credit yourself. That's the whole look what I have done mentality, all right? And I can already tell in the house, you know that ain't right, right? We already know if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, there's no telling where we'd be. So that was easy, all right? Everybody say number two. Being dishonest about your past state. Let's just be honest. We didn't always have it together. And we still working out our soul salvation. Am I telling the truth? right? Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 4 and 5 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. And I love that the Bible says that he is rich in mercy. That word rich means that he is abundantly supplied, right? And that is why every day we wake up to a brand new day with brand new mercies, because he is abundantly supplied, or he is rich in mercy. So even if one day you feel like, man, I have missed the mark today. You got it? And I think I've used up all of my mercy, right? It's okay. Just get a good night's sleep and go to bed and be in expectation. You're going to wake up tomorrow, because when you wake up the next day, he's going to give you a brand new day with brand new mercy, because he is rich in mercy. And verse 5 says, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. The Bible says it is by grace we've been saved through faith. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's why we should be thankful for where we're at. Amen. All right? Everybody say number 3. I'm giving you 3 symptoms of an ungrateful heart. Number 1 was giving God credit after you credit yourself. Number 2 was being dishonest about your past state. And then number 3, here's a really, really big one that we all have to watch, and that's being critical. Being critical. Being critical is a trap from the enemy. Most people who criticize people don't even know the whole story. Some people criticize people just because they're jealous of what somebody else has got. And the Bible says that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. See, most people don't know what you've gone through to get to where you are. So that's why you got to be careful about not putting your mouth on something that you don't understand. Come on, somebody. Most people that look at me, you know, they used to think I was an overnight success. I tell them it was a long night. Because people don't know what you go through to get to where you are. They don't know the hell that you went through. They don't know the sacrifices that you made. They don't know everything that you did, the giving. Come on, somebody. And everything you did to get to where you are. You got it? And so we must be careful. Everybody say we must be careful. Because watch this, the condition of your heart determines the outcome of your faith. And so that's why you have to be so careful to keep your heart right and to keep your heart pure, because the condition of your heart, it determines the outcome of our faith, because faith worketh by love. So faith, watch this, so love is the motivator, but faith is the activator. But watch this, my faith can't get activated if what I'm doing is not motivated by love. And so we must watch our thoughts, because our thoughts become words. And what comes out of our mouth can make us, and what comes out of our mouth can break us. Matthew, the 12th chapter and the 37th verse says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. Most people do not have the understanding or the correlation between what they have and what they say. And you got to understand that a lot of times what we're experiencing in life is a result of what we've been saying. So you got to watch what you say to make sure that I'm only saying what the word of God says. Come on, somebody. I'm not being critical of others. I'm keeping my heart right. I've got this attitude of gratitude so I can see the goodness of God in my life. And so I want to move to the next portion of this lesson. And let me give you 5 benefits of a thankful heart. 5 benefits of a thankful heart. All right. So 5 benefits of a thankful heart. And I think you're going to really enjoy these. And I think this is really, for me, a good test to find out, do I really have gratitude? You got it. Am I really a thankful person? So let's jump into it. Everybody in the room and online, say number 1. Number 1, the first benefit of a thankful heart is it gives expression to life. It gives expression to life. You know, how many know when you have the right attitude, life just seems better? Isn't that right? Yeah. When you have the right attitude, life just seems better. Now, I was on Father's Day, I was teaching and I was talking to the fathers. I had a great lesson for them, but I also had some funny parts in my lesson for them. And I don't know, if you all were to go and eat fried chicken. Now, in North Carolina, we have Bojangles. What do y'all have in Texas? Canes. Popeyes, okay, all right. Yeah, we have one Popeyes. You got it. So let's just, you know, I was explaining to them, you know, brothers, I understand for Mother's Day, you might have made all these big plans, you got it, and you took her to the nice restaurant, and then you wake up for Father's Day, and you realize that after service, you are going to Popeyes. And I said, now at this moment, the plans have been made. It is what it is. Y'all going to Popeyes. So you have one or two choices. You can have an attitude of gratitude or you can have an attitude of complaining. Now, if you have an attitude of complaining, how many know things are just not going to work out right? Because you already going to Popeyes anyways, right? Now you are on the way to Popeyes. You're mumbling and you're complaining. You got to talk about, I don't understand because we did this on Mother's Day and we did this and now I got to go to Popeyes, and you walk into Popeyes, and when you get your meal, you got it, the chicken is old, you got it, the biscuits aren't fresh, right? Or you can have an attitude of gratitude and say, you know what, I'm just thankful that the family is together. I'm just thankful that we came and worshiped the Lord together. Now all my family, we going to Popeyes, and we just gonna have a good time eating some greasy chicken. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, and you walk in, and you get your food, and watch it, and the chicken just came out the grease. And the biscuits are buttermilk and they're soft because our attitude a lot of times determines what's going to happen in our lives. And if we have the right attitude, life just seems better. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it gives expression to life. All right. Everybody say number two. Number two, it keeps me aware of the blessings in the spirit realm. See, when I'm grateful, I have joy, right? When I'm in joy, I'm in anticipation and expectation of God's best in my life. You understand what I'm saying? Because like Pastor Polo said, where there's the word, you got it, and you mix it with faith, then there's expectation, right? And so you have to understand that I'm in expectation of God's best in my life, regardless of where I am right now. So I can be in a tough situation, I can be in a tough season, I can be in a tight spot, and I don't have to have a frown on my face. I can have a joy on my face. I can have happiness because happiness is a choice that I chose ahead of time. You understand? Like when I woke up this morning, I chose happiness for the simple fact that he woke me up this morning, right? That somebody didn't wake up and I woke up, and that alone is enough for me to be happy. And so so watch this. So my joy, watch this, is not based on where I am now, but my joy is based on the anticipation of I know that he's taking me to a better place because he's already declared my end from my beginning. So I'm not going to sulk where I am now. I'm going to praise him till heaven gets the news. I'm going to praise him till the joy of the Lord becomes my strength. I'm going to praise him where I am because I know it won't always be like this. Does that make sense? Sometimes you have to learn to leave the discomfort of your present and visit your future on the canvas of your imagination and what your life is going to be like. And so in tough situations, sometimes you just have to stop. You have to leave where you are. Come on, somebody. And with your imagination, you got, and in the spirit realm, you just have to remind yourself, it ain't always going to be like this. You got to start talking to yourself saying, don't fret. It ain't always going to be like this. And you got to start seeing, I see better days. I see brighter days. I see days of peace. I see days of prosperity. I see days of debt freedom. I see days of me going to the next level. So my joy and my anticipation and my expectation is not based on where I am now, but it's based on where I know he's taking me. Does that make sense? Amen. And so it keeps me aware of the blessings in the spirit realm. See, expectation is breeding ground for miracles. So what you expect, you will experience. So you have to make sure that you're expecting some things so that you, because if you expect the wrong things, you'll experience the wrong things. But if you expect the right things, you'll experience the right things. Doesn't that make sense? And you've got to understand, it takes the same process of faith to believe for a piece of bread as it does a loaf of bread. So you might as well believe for the loaf. You got it? Because need and necessity are not prerequisites for a move of God. Faith is. And so when I put my faith on something, you got it? Because, you know, when I put my faith on something, it doesn't matter what anybody else believes. Mark 9:23 teaches me that all things are possible if I believe. So to the degree that I believe, it becomes possible for me. And I taught you all of that, but none of that works if I'm not all the way at the front and just being thankful for where God has me right now. Does that make sense? All right, so that's number one. That's number one is give expression to life. Number two, keeps me aware of the blessings in the spirit realm. Here's a good one. Here's a big one. Number three, motivates me to be a giver. Motivates me to be a giver. See, a lot of times we don't know how to properly judge if somebody is thankful. And one thing you have to understand is grateful people are generous givers. Repeat after me. Grateful people are generous givers. Let's just start with the tithe, right? Let's just back up. You know, I always say that giving is not a game. It is God's plan to prosper our lives. To the degree that we do it on purpose, out of principle, we'll see amazing things happen in our lives, right? God is never trying to get something from us. God is always trying to get something to us. The Bible teaches us that where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. And so you have to understand that my heart, watch this, I can look at my bank account and see where my heart is tithed. Does that make sense? You got it. My heart is tied to God and to LaConte McIver. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. And my kids, you got it. And then I just love to be a blessing to people all the time. And so grateful people are generous givers. So the way to find out someone, if they're really grateful, if they're thankful, is that they're generous givers. And so you have to learn that the tithe is the tenth part, right? And the Bible teaches us to give that first, right? Why do we give it to him first? Because when we give the tithe, and really we don't give it, we return the tithe, right? Because really it's not ours in the first place, right? The tithe is the accursed thing. I don't know why I'm going this route, but let me just go this route for a minute. It's set apart, it's holy, it's consecrated, it doesn't belong to us. When we keep it, you got it, it's cursed, but when we return it to the Lord, it's blessed. And you have to have faith that I can live better on the 90 blessed than I can the 100 cursed. Does that make sense? You just have to have a conviction, you got it, that when I return the tithe, there are some supernatural things that happen, right? You got it? And then I return the tithe that belongs to the Lord. And then the Bible says tithes and offering. And so now I'm giving an offering, and that's between whatever Holy Spirit puts in my heart to do, right? Understanding it, if I sow sparingly, I'm going to reap sparingly, but if I sow bountifully, I'm going to reap bountifully. And you have to learn that when God pushes you to do something above your initial expectation, that it's called a sacrifice. Sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. It gets God's attention and it causes him to move in our lives. Sometimes the reason someone hasn't seen a breakthrough is because God keeps pushing them to sacrifice and they keep holding back. And he keeps pushing them to sacrifice and they keep holding back. But the moment they finally obey God and sacrifice, they see the floodgates of favor opening in their lives, not realizing that had you just obeyed God last week, last month, or last year, you would have saw that same thing. Because giving is not a game. It is God's plan to prosper our lives. And so it motivates me to be a giver because grateful people are generous givers. If you are not a giver, I challenge you to take the next 6 months. You got it? And I mean, just give to God based on his word. Give to him in faith. You got it? You know, and have an expectation. And if you'll do that, you'll see God do amazing things in your life. All right. So we said, number one, it gives expression to life. Number two, it keeps me aware of the blessings in the spirit realm. Number three, it motivates me to give, to be a giver. Number four is real easy. Number four is real easy. It chases away despair and discouragement. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? How many know you can't be happy and mad at the same time? You got it? And so you have to make, happiness is a choice that I choose ahead of time. And so if I'm a grateful person, I always see the good side of things. If I'm a grateful person, I always see the glass half full instead of half empty. If I'm a grateful person, I'm always thanking God for all the things that he's already done, even though I know he's going to do more in my life, because I have the right perspective. And when I have the right perspective, everything changes. All right. And then my last and my final point, I'm doing good. I might even give you 2 or 3 minutes on the clock. Praise the Lord. And my last, yes, I think I will. And my last, this is good. My last point is it gives me the right perspective. It gives me the right perspective. All right. When we were talking about five benefits of a thankful heart, it gives me the right perspective. And the right perspective is that what really matters has not changed. And what has not changed is God's word. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says that he always causes us to triumph and he always causes us to win. And so if I'm doing things God's way, watch this, and in the natural, you know, people might think I'm not doing good or, you know, it's not working. No, I'm winning even when it looks like I'm losing. You understand what I'm saying? Because weapons form, they don't prosper. I might be in, I will not break. Does that make sense? You got it? Let's stand up. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's make this confession. Let's make this confession. All right. Let's make this confession. All right. Have y'all enjoyed this today?
Yeah.
All right. Repeat after me. What really matters has not changed. And I want you to remind yourself that. You might be going through this week and something tough comes up or something takes you by surprise. Even though it took you by surprise, it didn't take God by surprise. And God already knows what he's going to do in your life and your situation. He's already declared your end from your beginning. He's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's already put everything in place that you will ever need to make sure that you live an amazing life, because he already declared your end from your beginning. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, and God knows what he's doing. And so, repeat after me. Say, I'm going to make it. And I'm going to win. Say, tough times don't last. Tough people do. Now say, I'm tough. No, come on, say it like you mean. Say, I'm tough. Say, God is with me. And God is greater. God is with me. And I cannot fail. Here we go, let's jump into it now real strong. Somebody say, I declare. I declare. Every delay will work in my favor. Every setback will be a setup for something greater. My circumstance can't circumvent my blessings. Favor is on every side, chasing me down. Weapons may form, but they will not prosper. I might bend, but I will not break. Now say, I declare that the winds of change are blowing in my direction. Say, I declare no more delay. I declare no more distractions. Say, I declare that every satanic assignment from the enemy has been halted in my life, in my family, in this church. Right now. Right now. Right now. Say, I decree it. I declare it. It is so. Now point your hand toward Pastor Eben and Pastor Sheree. Father, we thank you for the gifts of this house. And we just declare strength on top of strength. We declare grace on top of grace. We declare wisdom on top of wisdom. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare blessings on top of blessings in the name of Jesus. I declare, even as Pastor Eben comes back when he gets off sabbatical, Father, his eyes have not seen, neither have his ears heard, neither has it entered into his heart what you are about to do in the life of this ministry, as you give him, Father, the instructions for the next season of this ministry. So I declare next level for Word of Truth Family Church in the name of Jesus. I declare increase, and I know you've seen it, but I declare increase like you've never seen before in the name of Jesus. I declare not big checks, but somebody say big checks. I mean big checks with lots of zeros. I declare the debt-free anointing is on this ministry in the name of Jesus. Because of your heart to be a servant. Because of your generosity, because of the way that you lead, that God's going to breathe on this ministry in a way that he's never breathed on it before. It's time. I hear the Lord saying it's time. I hear him saying it's time. You've been through some tough stuff and you passed the test, and now it's time. So I declare favors. I declare miracles. And I declare open doors. I declare favor. I declare miracles. And I declare open doors. I declare the supernatural has taken place, and God is going to blow your mind. I decree it. I declare it for the man and woman of God and for this house and everyone who's connected to it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you bless them all over the building? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, remain standing.